Blog Talk Radio.
Good evening, greetings everyone. This is Baba Wetapa right here in Oklahoma City. What a wonderful yet hot day to be on the air tonight. As always, we want to thank my yet you boy, who again is not here quite yet because of her schooling. But again, she definitely will be here, and we're definitely looking for her inspired words of thought, wisdom, and understanding. As always, tonight, we want to thank everybody for joining us right here in Oklahoma City. Baba Wetapa, again, Father of Many Nations. We're here talking with several guests tonight, and we're also going to get right back on a topic that we just completed Thursday night, and that is the unjustified killing of unarmed blacks by the police departments here in the United States. On tonight's topic of the show, we have a slash, meaning what is your solutions to this brutally murder and carnage of the African-American people here in the Western Hemisphere. Also, last week we talked about, actually Thursday, we talked about black-on-black crime. Again, this is a very interesting topic that I think we'll be doing next in the next couple of days as well, because, matter of fact, one of the gentlemen who came on the show who told me he'll be back on tonight talked about the black-on-black crime again, which he's definitely right. I mean, because as we look at it, we continually fight one another over senseless things that's owing each other $5. Okay, well, that's nice to hear, again, as far as understanding, but it's not good to hear when it comes to actual having to call a mother or a parent or loved one to say, hey, your son or daughter has died because of a dispute over money or colors or anything else that they may have actually fought and died over. So again, we want to thank y'all again tonight. Again, to our special guest, as always, for the last three times in a row, and again, we want to hopefully continue this, is Bridging the Gap tonight. Bridging the Gap, point 34. Again, you're always welcome, and as well as we're ready to do a show that you may want us to do here very briefly as well. So again, we want to thank y'all, everyone on this very hot day. And again, Brother Kevin, I don't know if you're on tonight, whoever, and Sister Brittany, as well as Fallon and other young lady Zoe. Regardless of the fact how many of y'all are here, we know that y'all represent the whole as what we do here at the radio station. We represent one another at any and all costs. So thank y'all again very much. This past Thursday, we talked about George Floyd's. We talked about the Breonna Taylor's. You know, we talked about the Mike Brown's. I mean, we talked about Sandra Bland's. I mean, the situation and conditions go on and on and on and on. We also talked about how blacks were being slaughtered in the streets by police agencies, and how they average around 19 black deaths a year. I'm not talking about being armed. I'm talking about actually black folks being unarmed and simply being pulled over for a stoplight and ending up dead. Or maybe going to a grocery store, picking up the wrong candy bar, dying. And a lot of y'all might say, man, you're exaggerating. No. When you look at the history of these killings, it's no question that they were motivated by race, white supremacist behavior, because 75% of all these killings were done by police officers who were of a Caucasian background. But let me say, David, each and every one of y'all, we have no room for racist white supremacists in our civil servant positions, because these situations and positions are designed to curtail the wrong and evil that a lot of these people have basically found as a blanket to cover up for their no-good racist and practices and conditions. So let me talk to you a little bit about it if I can here. Brother Kevin, are you there? Sister Brittany, Washington, and Fallon, all y'all there. Talk to whoever's there. What's going on with y'all tonight?
So, Michael, hey, how you doing? Thank you again for having me.
I'm good, thank you.
On the show. It is just myself, Brittany Washington. The other guys are actually at a social justice event today.
Okay.
So I will be representing Bridging the Gap.
Hey, all right, all right. Long as you don't take them, eat up all the hamburgers and things, we're going to be fine now, young lady.
Oh, no. You know, my preference is chicken.
Oh, with that, too. Well, I don't care which way it is, but as long as you include me in, I don't give a doggone. If I got to fly down there to get it, I'll come get it.
Oh,
that's always good.
We definitely got to play for you.
All right. Talk to me now. What's going on? Tell me how your day went before you get on the show and talk about the topic. I mean, I like to hear about what you got going, what you don't have going, what's been going on with you, so forth and so on.
Oh, yeah. So my day has been great. I actually have been having a very busy and productive day here.
All right.
In the world of doing business consulting and hanging out with family a little bit this evening. So I'm just glad to be on the show, man. I'm glad to get into this topic because I think it's
yes, you know, you're always welcome. Again,
topic.
We want Bridging the Gap to always know that they're welcome to be on any show that we have because not enough of our young folks out there who have the audacity, and I say audacity because it takes a lot of function and guts and determination to get out there and do something with your lives and to also affect others as you're going up because you have to realize, too, there are a lot of people who are listening to you, you know, young and especially being vibrant and fiery. You know, I know you have a lot of followers, and again, y'all caught my attention, so therefore that shows you that you're being effective. So again, tell me what's going on a little bit more with the Black 7, then we can get on the topic. Your unarmed police shootings and killings of black people, what is your solution? So again, sister, go ahead and talk to me about it. What is your solution? And tell me a little bit else about, you know, what plans you may have going on, and just talk a little bit about yourself.
Okay, so a solution that I have thought about since Thursday discussion is, number one, education. Because when you're educated, they take away the room for error. Yes, error will happen, but if you are educated, you're more likely less than to make mistakes. You're less likely to have the excuse of, oh, I didn't know. And so being able to reach out to our politicians to have this information that they're posting, because I know one of the gentlemen that they called into the show on Thursday, he was saying that, you know, we have more power than we realize. You know, all we have to do is read. However, making the politicians aware that we might not necessarily know where to find this information. So if they could publicize this information so that we can attend these meetings, so that we can fight for getting true black history back into the book, so that we can come to meetings where they having the police chief out to be able to bridge the gap with the community, we will be better equipped and more efficient in the way that we educate to be able to cut down on these senseless murders that continue to happen. You know, it's one thing to say, oh, I made a mistake. So another solution for us at Bridging the Gap is being able to not take so long to prosecute these officers when you have stories like George Floyd. It should have been no long, drawn-out process to be able to book the officers and charge them.
Wow.
When I sat down with the mayor here in Fort Worth, the former mayor at this time, Betsy Price, came up with an idea of being able to implement some policy changes and procedures. So she said, you know, this will take 5 to 7 years, and I call BS when I hear it. Because when they got tired of the looting, when they got tired of the people being angry and burning down buildings, how quickly they came up with the Breonna Taylor law. They implemented that law within 72 hours. It don't take 5 to 7 years to change up some stuff.
You're right.
It shouldn't take.
Here it is. We had a black woman. Wow. Go ahead.
So with the Breonna Taylor law, you know, just to catch everybody up on, or just the Breonna Taylor situation, the officers, they had a way out for the arrest for individuals who didn't even belong to that residence anymore. They didn't they didn't announce themselves. They immediately took affirmative action on the wrong location. The actual people that they were looking at were way across town. And her boyfriend, in the event of her boyfriend doing what we have the right to do with the stand the ground law is protect your household.
That's right.
They even tried to charge him for shooting back at the officers and thinking they were just intruding into the place where they pay rent, they pay bills, where they sound sanctioned with them being in their own home. So I'm so glad that they say was relief. However, he shouldn't have been arrested in the first place. It was the officer that didn't the due diligence, that didn't operate efficiently in their surveillance. And the result of their negligence to be able to do their jobs effectively, a young lady that aspires to be way more than she was in life, that was an EMT that showed up to save life, her life was not spared.
Wow, ain't that something? This young woman was a life practicing the... Go ahead on, man, I'll tell you. Good, I'm listening. I had to say this.
Somebody that's out here doing great work, that's being infectious in her community, that's inspiring her family to do more, to become more. She was becoming more. However, her life was cut short. And we have a judicial system that still has the statue of justice with a lady that is blindfolded, holding a scale that is unbalanced. I think that personally we need we need to get away with that statue, because to me that's the indication that they will always turn a blinded eye to what's just, and the scales will always be unbalanced. How is that?
That's foul.
Equality.
Wow, you know what? So, you are on point. Now go ahead on. I want you to go because people are listening to you. And I got the lines lit up, so keep talking. I'm just, you know, when I respond, don't worry about it. If I ask you, say, hey, give me a minute or something, that's different. But now go ahead on, because we're definitely listening to you. People are giving you thumbs up and so forth and so on. So keep go ahead.
And thank you.
But now the Breonna Taylor law, has it been effective? I want to ask you that since we got a little break. I mean, how are people responding to it?
I feel like the people were relieved. Because the looting stopped, because the turn down of officers stopped. But the thing is, whenever it's black people or all people, not just black people, because we had Asians, white people, Hispanics, all of us standing in solidarity for the cause, whenever we unified and locked arms and said enough is enough and no justice, no peace, they start to move their hands. And when I say they, I mean the judicial system, the governors, the mayors, the Congress.
Yes.
You know, they got together to implement this change. Why does it continue to take all of this instead of just doing what's right? It might feel like it's not right. However, what's right is right and what's wrong is wrong. And we're going to call a spade a spade. And for the young people who are listening, we have to take charge in our communities. We pay these police officers through our tax dollars. We pay these schools through our tax dollars. If they're going to take money from our paycheck that we show every day to work to be able to provide for our families, if they're taking income out of our household to fund themselves, we need to make sure that our funding it being used for what we need it to be used for.
All right. Oh, man. Nicole, but she'll be coming on here in a minute as well. But, yeah, Brittany, you are absolutely on point. Let me tell y'all something. Throughout history, even my brother, Huey P. Newton, who rest in peace, he stated that the revolution begins with our young folks, because just like those young folks today, like yourselves, he was young in the movement when he started the Black Panther Party with the brother, I can't think of his name at the moment, but yeah, in 1966, okay? They were young people, I mean, barely out of college. So what you young people are doing today is like the torch is about to be passed on down to you. But in other words, for it to be effectively passed on to you, you have to have the mindset of the people who are not going to be cowards or back down when they see a fight, meaning because you're not going to be inspired if you see somebody who's leading and guiding you running and tucking their behind and going behind a closed door when you're out there fighting. You see them getting in? So everybody who say they're revolutionary really aren't. Everybody say they want to get into the struggle really are not. They just like to be a part of something that sounds good, you know, the effective, what's being effective at that time. So, again, I like the fact that what you've done and with Bridging the Gap and Brother Kelvin, as a matter of fact, I just got a contact call from Yeah, she's there at their social media themselves, so that's good. So that means two of us and, well, a couple others on the show here. We'll get ready to talk to us here shortly. So it's just us today. But tell me this, Nicole, what is it that inspired you with something, probably motivated you by growing it? This is still on the same topic now, so everybody don't get this wrong, but we're trying to get an opportunity because a lot of people say they want to get to know you a little bit better. And I think that we can take a little bit of time here because we still got enough time to get to the topic of the show. This is not a veering out at the same time because this is about what is your solution. And your solution was education. But what made you come to the point of education, being young, to say, okay, hold up, this got to stop. It had to be something, so we're definitely on the same topic. Talk to me.
Is that question for myself or Nicole?
Yeah. No, it's for you, Nicole. She's listening. That's for you, Brittany.
So the thing that brought me to this thought was that there has been so much done throughout history. There has been so many things swept up under the rug in history.
Uh-huh.
So many major advocates that have lost their lives throughout history.
Yes.
And myself personally, I cannot allow my ancestors' blood to be shed in vain.
Gotcha. Come on.
Because if I choose to do nothing, their fight was for nothing. Their lives were for nothing.
Come
the
on.
Respect that they gained during that era would be for nothing. It would be a shame on me if I did carry on the bloodline, to pass on the torch to those that come behind me, because those that come behind me are still looking up to me as a mentor right now. See, I
That's
found
right.
that my age group is searching for a mentor when we are the mentors.
Come on. Yeah.
We have to accept accountability and responsibility for the title and the mantle that we hold over our lives. The value that we want, we can't demand value and respect if we are not in an alignment, if we are not unified. When I watch videos and movies from what happened during Selma, those people wasn't worried about my organization being bigger than yours, my name being bigger than yours. It was about the cause being bigger than America. And if we can't humble ourselves to get each other, get to each other, to empower each other on one accord, we will always fail. Because why? The authority, the people that are in authority figures or in authoritative roles, they will never take us serious because of the discord that we're in. If we commit to discord, everything that we stand for is chaotic.
Uh-huh, uh-huh.
So at that point, we have to humble ourselves and realize that we are like an army unit. We are a
Come
person.
On now. Well,
so
actually, you know what? Mm-hmm. Go ahead.
No, go ahead.
No, what I'm trying to say is, unity in the community is the most effective tool right now because we're going up against the biggest gangsters in the world, and they're legalized with the weapons to shoot and kill us down by any means necessary, to borrow a few words from Malcolm X. Malcolm X spoke about how the tragedy was going on when blacks were being slaughtered even in the 60s, and he mobilized a group of people to come together and fight this whole tragic thing. So you are definitely right, Nicole. We're going to give it to you very shortly. Again, I think we got a little disconnect that she kind of fell off, but we'll get back to it again. So this whole thing that we're talking about today is, y'all, we have to get together and form a unified front. I think I kind of lost you for a minute, but you're back, Brittany. That's good. I'm glad you were able to get back on. But I was sitting here thinking about how we're going to get together to fight this tyranny and oppression as black folks here in the Western Hemisphere of the United, I used to call it and still do, United Snakes of America. Because anytime you harm someone deliberately and recklessly, anytime you have a policy and practice that you're geared toward protecting an offensive that is not justified, and you're killing black folk for the sake of their unique skin pigmentation, there's something very flawed and wrong with that system. And so I'm saying today, just like what you said earlier, and again, all you all, thank y'all from Georgia, thank you from Minnesota, thank you from New Mexico, thank you from Africa. All right, thank y'all for tuning in. But we just want to let everybody know, man, that, you know, we're here to be a voice for you. Now, since we're on the topic of what we can do, I'm going to piggyback a little bit off on what Brittany had just spoken about, and that is about educating. But I also want to say, too, that in order for us to fulfill our obligation and furthermore of education is that we come together and sit down and get to the negotiation tables. Just like when them brothers and sisters got together and rallied, like you said up there when she talked about Breonna Taylor and it took 72 hours, oh, that could be done. Let's take a page from those folks. And as you see, the looting stopped, the burning of the building stopped, the marches stopped, because at least we got something positive, even though the officers were not charged in an appropriate manner. Still, today, her civil rights has not been vindicated based upon this rich, wicked, wrecked, debauchery behavior and mannerisms of the police departments here in the United States. Let me just very briefly go back to the lines, and then we're going to get Nicole, as she's told us to give her a minute. But Brittany, let's talk about that. Some people saying that the 60-shot young man up there in Akron, Ohio, who was shot 60 times, some people saying that that is justified work of police. They don't feel they've done anything wrong. I mean, what about you on that? What you got to say about that?
Oh, here's what I feel about the Jaylen Walker incident. After watching the video breakdown of what actually took place that evening, I stand for what's right. And unfortunately, in this situation, from what I saw, now, this is just my opinion. This is not
I'm
a fact,
already.
But I'm dealing with the facts.
You kept
that
coming
young
how
man
you
was
think?
Out of line.
Okay.
That young
okay.
man was out of line. And here's why I say that, because I know with some people, like, how can she say that this was an unjust killing? Here's the facts. The facts was he led the police on a high-speed chase instead of pulling over his vehicle. Regardless if you're afraid or not, you cannot do something that is automatically wrong, because we know that we can't take the police on a high-speed chase. Secondly, you shot out the window, so they already could ding you a threat because you had a weapon in a vehicle. You shot out of the window. Then you proceeded out of your vehicle through the passenger side with a ski mask on. So at that point, they can't tell what ethnicity you are. So we can't say, oh, it was because he was black. Because it was nighttime. So they can't say, oh, it was a black man that shot out the window on the freeway, got out, he had a ski mask on, and then he proceeded to take off running, turned back, but was reaching in his waistband area. Here's the thing. I have police officers as friends. And
oh, I'm just
some,
of course. He'll holler me, man.
No, I'm not bad. It's a bad apple everywhere, no matter where
of
we
course.
Are. No matter what, if we're at school, we at our job, we at church, we at wherever, at the gas station, don't matter. There's a bad apple everywhere. But here's the thing.
Absolutely.
With police officers, a goal that they have that I have found in doing research is that they want to go home to their families. Here's another thing that I want to point out about when I was breaking down the video clip from several different officers' body cams. This was just not one officer that let off 60 rounds. Let's be very clear. This was, I believe, eight officers.
Yes.
This was eight officers that saw this young man come reach for his waistline when they know he is already shot out the window. Their job equips them to kill. Their slogan is to protect and serve. So therefore, they have to protect their lives, because their goal, remember, is to be able to go home to their family safely. So if anybody is posing a threat, then if they turn around, automatically they're going to shoot. But here's my other conflict and issue in this situation before we even go any further. How can officers detain a mass murderer knowing that they have killed several people, knowing that they are a threat, but they get apprehended safely? I have a problem with that.
Well,
contradicting. It's very contradicting to their practice. But in the situation of Jalen Walker, I feel like as parents, that's a very important moment to educate your kids on. Listen, even if you feel like you're going to receive a consequence for being pulled over, whether you be driving without a license, whether you be driving your tags expired, whether you be driving recklessly, whatever it is, take the ticket and make it to court. Make it to see your court date. Because in court, you can safely advocate for yourself. In court, you can actually be in a safe environment to argue your point. Being pulled over by the police and trying to conduct yourself as if you're in court and you have backup and you have proof and you have all the evidence you need to plead your case, that's not the time to do it.
Because if you get pulled over
with one of the bad apples, they're going to call that killing justified because they're going to say, oh, they were a threat. How can we as a people argue on your behalf for that? Because we don't know what took place in that private moment. Yes, the body cam have been a thing that they have just implemented and policy demanded that the officers turn on and keep on for the remainder of their shift because of incidents with like George Floyd and Breonna Taylor. But prior to that, there wasn't a such thing. So it was their word versus yours. So if a person is in uniform, for whatever reason, their word counted more than ours. I'm not saying it was right. I don't even agree with that at all. However, I'm saying live, young people, older people, all people, to see your court date. We did an episode on Bridging the Gap covering Jalen Walker's story. And in Bridging the Gap, we have a very diverse team. I learned something during that segment. I learned that I learned that Zoe, which is a Caucasian young lady, she stated out her own mouth that she was afraid of the police. And that's something that black people don't think that is a real thing. But it's, I learned that's a real thing. I didn't think that white people were afraid of the police at all. You know, to us, we think that all white people believe that they have a privilege that allows them to hop out the vehicles and walk up on police officers and not be afraid. I learned for the first time in my 31 years of living that a Caucasian person was afraid of the police.
You know what? In reality, I understand where you're coming from, but I've actually seen some instances where whites themselves are saying, hey, man, I get apprehensive. I immediately throw my arms out the car. I did a show on it, as a matter of fact, about a couple of months ago, and we had some, you know, a mixed audience on, and again, Hispanics and a couple of whites say, hey, man, even though I am white, I just the harshness in a police officer's voice, I didn't know what to think, whether I was just going to be killed with this harsh voice or whether I was just going to have my life taken. I mean, whether I'm going to be beat to death just because he raised his voice at me. So, see, and she said, one of them said, just like your female said, it's because if they'll go to blacks that way, who knows what other thing they may have gone through from a family dispute or whatever to cause them to do me that way. So, in reality, what you were saying was a whole lot, Brittany, about what you were saying made a whole lot of sense. But let me go further to say that we basically live in two Americas, man. I mean, basically. Now, you had the one white guy in the Highland Park situation that shot all them people down. He was able to walk away, wasn't shot down, and clearly his case was massive killing, and he was able to walk away. But you got one black man hustled out of a car with a mask on, true enough, gets shot down, should have stopped. We understand that. But at the same time, these vigilantes are using those conditions and situations as a way to foster their woeful disregard for black life. Now, if you talk about being shot, and releasing 60 rounds of ammunition. Ain't nobody in their right mind, and you say eight officers shooting, regardless of if you say you got eight officers that are pinning them in different angles, there's no kind of way that you can justify. Now, maybe four or five shots. I mean, that'll have been stretching the imagination some. But anytime you got a person like that that you're shooting at and hadn't raised the arms after, your mindset would basically sound like to me you have a psychological blindness to a situation. You have trained, you've had marked trainings and shootings, so there's no question in my mind. Then you got the guys in Buffalo, the shootings, able to walk away, they were white. You see, when you look at the two diverse groups here in America, like, say, the two Americas that I'm talking about, I had to bring it up tonight because I was waiting to do it. We were going to do it the other night, but we didn't have time. When you have those situations like that with the Buffalo killings and the Uvalde shootings, those white Caucasians were 18 years old, the same age range that I was telling you about that the police are basically focusing on now. And then you got a black man running, even though he may have shot, as they say, out of a car or whatever, regardless of that. Okay, and if they say reaching down for whatever weapon. Like I said, maybe for five, that may have given him justified five calls. I'm not going to side with him because he did. I'm saying they may have given him justified calls. But my thing is, when you unload a barrage of bullets like that, I mean, you can't, in other words, we're going to make sure you don't, come on now, let's look at the common sense. We're going to make sure that you're not going to hurt us. In other words, sort of saying, oh, let's preserve life, like. You got to have a diplomacy there. I don't care what your job, I don't care if you've been fired upon, you still have to have a semblance of common sense. So this is the bigger part of the picture. That's why I did a radio show, and the other guy, I was on somebody else's show, and he asked me all of this, and I started bringing out, made points up to him, that the accountability in this country with police, there is none. And until we redo, revamp, revisit the current police shootings, the current policies that allows them to shoot, we're going to have people who are going to be saying that a badge is not a right to kill, regardless of you black, Hispanic, white, Chinese, Mexican, it don't make a difference who you are. But see, now watch this, Nicole. I mean, excuse me. Yeah, Nicole, hold on, Nicole. I just said Nicole. Hold on, Nicole. I'll get you just a second. But let me say this here, Brittany. When you think about all that you're talking about, and you're right, think about it now, only 60 rounds hit him from 90. Now, come on, sister. You can't make me believe a 90 rounds. It felt 90 rounds was necessary to take a man if he was getting ready to pull somebody's pants. That's the problem that we have here with this whole out thing. 90 shots? Now, come on, really? Really? That was a blatant, flagrant.
I definitely agree. 90, that was an overkill. I absolutely agree with that. I'm not taking from that at all. I'm not taking from that at all.
Wow. That is insane. Look at that now.
That was insane. I feel like they failed in that department. I feel like they failed.
That's what I'm trying to get at. And that, like I said, I even said, yes, if he had been going for his fans after having shot out, okay, maybe four or five. Okay, we can see that. But 90 rounds, look, that's somebody like you're in enemy territory, like where you're going to fight a person to gain part of a strategic country or something. You know what I mean? Those were not a question mark about shooting this man and letting him live, not shooting at him 90 times. You see what I'm getting at? So in other words, I believe if there's a radio call, if we get some 911 tapes or police tapes, you're going to hear somebody say, shoot to kill. There's no question. And shooting to kill, like you said, the overkill, the fact that 90 rounds? Now, come on. I mean, look at the door. We allow that to go without any kind
excessive.
Of... Go ahead.
90 times,
what'd you say?
That's excessive.
60 rounds that hit him. And they
that's
just said he had a handgun.
And
how many bullets would he have?
The findings from the coroner's report. That's another thing that I didn't get a chance to address. So in the coroner's report, it stated that the victim was found with their hands behind, in handcuffs behind their back, while they were laying on their back. That's from the actual coroner's report. So I do want to also bring that up. So at what time during that incident, that not showing the people that the officer handcuffed this young man.
But now, what they did is to quell the question. Go ahead. Nicole, you about ready to say something after we finish this?
Time.
I know you're just getting on, but and you're very patient. So if you got something to say, just jump right on in. We're talking about unarmed police shootings and killings of black people. What your solution is? So again, we have right now, Brittany is talking to us on the phone with Bridging the Gap. And again, as she finishes, then you can jump right on in, y'all. As we take about another 15 minutes after that, then we just open the lines for everybody to just, you know, go at it. But go ahead on, Brittany. I just wanted to let her know that. Go ahead and talk to me.
So my question in the Jaylen Walker incident, at what point in time did they handcuff this young man? Because, as I stated, he shot out the window. He jumped out the passenger side, took off running, reached in his waist area, and they shot him up. So at what point in time are they not showing the recordings where they handcuffed this young man? Because it's
that's what I'm trying to say. We need that part.
That this is official reporting. We know that it is very vital information. So here's what we as the people need to do is demand to see the rest of the recordings that they're
not. Oh,
doing.
No, we got to. We got to. The people up there are marching on the streets for that.
Oh, yeah, because you have to show that. Because if it's in the official documentation, then you have to provide the evidence. And here's where it gets illegal and unjust. You can't just do what you want to do and show people what you want to show us. If you're going to tell the whole truth, you have to tell the whole truth because half a truth is what is a lie.
You're right. You know,
their actions unjust.
And
these are the things that
you
should be prosecuted for and not sent out on administrative leave with pay.
No, thank you.
You shouldn't be
thank
paid
you.
For that. You shouldn't be paid for that.
More people should get abreast to what you just spoke about. That's why educating and informing people's getting on Zoom calls and shows like this here so that we can get opinions from everyone because, again, on this show, every person's opinion counts. Because we make up a society of diverse people. So that means we're going to have diverse ideas, diverse conclusions, diverse reasonings, diverse beliefs. So this is why, so you're absolutely right. So I want to ask you, Nicole, what is your solution? Matter of fact, just tell us about your day-to-day. What you think we need to know about unarmed police killings of blacks and what your solution is? Talk to you. How you doing, by the way?
I'm good. I just finished up fire
for you. I just,
you
know, you got
the
floor. I just wanted to let you know that, you know, we said that what the topic was about, and we got a lot of people now who's basically fried about what went on up there. 60 bullets, 60 rounds, but now actually they shot 90 rounds. But the 60 of them hit it.
90. And I'll tell you this. One, outside of the fact that they shot this person 60 times and at him 90 times, something else that I need to point out that's also concerning about the situation is you only hit your target two-thirds of the time.
Mm-hmm.
That's absolutely, that's terrifying. You're shooting into public just.
Yeah,
I mean,
well, you're right, though. I didn't think about that in. You're
that's,
right.
That's crazy. And also, I watched the video, and I never saw a shot fired from the side of his vehicle. I replayed it. I slowed it down, everything.
Uh-huh.
I never saw a spark. I don't know what they're seeing. I don't think that he ever shot, and I really honestly don't think that that's his gun. The body camera footage, they never showed us them approaching the car. Where's the video of them approaching the car and recovering the gun?
That's what we're talking about. All, we want all of it, not part of it. Because you had your body cam. Once that man took off in his car,
he's never been in trouble in his life. This boy, he's never been in trouble. He's a DoorDash driver.
Yeah.
He's, you know, he's not a troublemaker. And they said that he had some gold ring. Well, did you guys find out where that came from? I just feel like the whole entire thing was a setup. It's just awkward. He got out of the car, you know, at a decent pace coming from the driver's side and exited on the passenger side door. So did he lay, they said that they found the gun in the driver's side seat. So he laid all that out in the seat for them before he moseyed out of the
car.
Well,
that's,
like,
you know, that's, again, all that's
that
a question. Mark, Nicole, the questions that you're asking can only be corralled and given us a flat-out, without question, opinion if they showed us all the tape. Now, you know, you want to know why?
Yep.
They only showed the tape of him being shot down and all this here to quell too many people with question marks out there. They're not going to put everything out there just mm-hmm. yet now, because if they did that, then as you were stating, it's probably going to show a lot of stuff that did happen and shouldn't have occurred. You know, so you just got to realize that, number one. Okay?
And the amount of shots that were fired, even this isn't justifiable in my opinion, but even in a justifiable shooting, how many shots are fired? The same thing when I watched the video. I didn't see him grab his waist. I didn't see any of that. That's not what I saw. I saw somebody
that looked
like they were turning around.
Some others say they saw it. I mean,
it was like he was turning around to look at who was running behind him.
Yeah. His wife, actually, he said his girlfriend had got killed, first of all, or died or something like that. Okay, and then mm-hmm. after he was troubling in his mind. We know that part. But my point is, how in the world, from at least 8 officers, and then now you can jump back into Britain when you get ready, with 8 officers now firing their weapons, what kind of damn weapons did they have in them damn guns to have to fire that goddamn many times? Excuse my expression, y'all. Yeah? I mean, how come
there
doesn't have an 8-round
no
clip or something like this? Now, come on, man. 8 or 9 of y'all? Now, come on, now.
I 100% agree with Nicole. For you to be going through extensive training to learn how to hit your target, you should have only had to fire a couple of shots to hit your target.
Now, that's just what I'm trying to get at.
You know that sometimes that you will miss. But if it's 8 mm-hmm. of y'all, it shouldn't have taken all of those shots to hit your target. We're talking about only safely apprehending somebody.
Wow.
Once you hit him, you should have mm-hmm. been only targeting his legs. If he's running, hit his legs. Your job
well,
is
you're
not
going
to
be
somebody
in the back
to be able to arrest them.
How is it lawful for them to shoot people
yeah.
in their back so that are fleeing? That's not legal for the regular citizens.
Oh, no.
We can't
oh,
do that.
No.
So how is that justifiable for them that someone is fleeing and you shoot them? I don't think that should be justifiable, period. He didn't at that point turn around and shoot at them or anything. He was not. And also, they're so unorganized. You have 8 officers. Why are you all firing? Who's calling the shot?
They're
someone
not. They just fired.
Like one person. In that situation, one officer should be in the lead. It should be known, and he should be the only one firing.
Yeah, right. Unless he said that others were fired upon, he saw that it's likely that, let's say, for example, if he actually pulled and pointed, then, of course, everybody, all of them would have the right. But as you said, Nicole, though, good point, it should have been, all right, everybody stand down, so on. And if you see a weapon, then you shoot. That's what I'm trying to say. You have to talk like this, man. When you don't talk in mm-hmm. those organizations, they're free to do as they want because the police policies and procedures say it at their discretion whenever they feel that their lives are threatened are anyone that they can fire their weapons. In other words, it's so clean cut. However, in this case, I don't believe that they're going to walk. And I think for 9 times out of 10, them many bullets, like you said, overkill, somebody's going to jail. There's no question about that eventually because the people are not going to let them not go to jail.
But
so
that's,
you get ready for that.
The thing, Michael, it shouldn't even be an eventually.
That's
the problem
that
we're having with our police officers. There should not be an eventually, because when you're dealing with eventually, you run into situations like you ran into with our Tatiana Jefferson here in Fort Worth. Eventually, the police will be charged. However, so much time has passed where this family is left with questions.
Exactly.
Eventually, it's too long. It don't take that
long to prosecute
a drug dealer. It doesn't take them long to prosecute a pedophile. It doesn't take them long to prosecute a scammer. Why is it taking so long for these police officers? This is why us as a people are enraged.
I think
that they wait to see the outcry. I think they wait to see if people are going to care and if they're going to get involved. And if they aren't, then they're just going to slide it under the rug like they do so many. And I think that that's what it is. I think that's why it takes so long before they even file charges. We see it always. They never file charges immediately because they're waiting.
No. They always wait the month, six months. You're doggone right, man. In every case, almost has been 6 months to a year. Yeah. Hey, y'all not the only one who's observed that, you know. And this is why I said our show tonight, all about this, y'all, is what our solutions are. One of my solutions would be, again, y'all, jump in when you get ready. Like I said, I don't have to always talk. I'm listening to y'all. I'm getting fit. And, again, we have our callers that are calling in. They're getting ready to ask you questions and all this here. But let me say this right here. My solution to all of that is that we revisit, revamp, and to totally demolish the current police policy on the kill and excessive use of force. What we do, sit down and get the public involved about what writings and what words should be exactly on point instead of leaving out, you know, conclusions to where I can reach the way I want to be. It has to be clear, uncut words that you cannot use your weapon to shoot people 90,000 times. Now, why? Listen to this, Nicole. I want y'all to answer this for me. Now, shooting 90 times, don't you know about them people shooting all them bullets that there's nothing in their policy that said they can't do that because they never would have done it if it was? Think about that. I just told y'all it's written for them to decide if you need to shoot 15 times, 8 times, but now watch this here. The public outcry interest becomes to where charges be filed simply because it's not written up in there. As y'all say, and we say, hey, this was an overkill, so the voice of the people was spoken. You see what I'm getting at? So that's the only thing that's going to overturn or them not being filed because the public said, okay, we believe it was an overkill, unnecessary. But you see what I'm getting at?
I think we have to do a
Nah, you got it. Now you're talking
to me. I think
we
need to revisit police reform. We need to visit police reform because from the beginning, if people knew where policing came from, where it came from, it has roots in racism.
Yeah.
So we need to go all the way back to the beginning and revamp it 100%. Because if we don't, those policies and those ideas are so intertwined in every situation, from law enforcement to our judicial system to, you know, government entities and offices and things like that. We have to totally dismantle. And I know a lot of people are going to disagree with me. But it's about damn time we get rid of the motherfucking Constitution and rewrite the shit. The people that wrote that, there were so many of us that our voices weren't heard. There was no women.
Wow.
There was no women's voices. There was no people of color.
That's
there was
right.
no natives.
That's right.
There was no, I mean, those old ass white men don't speak for today and don't speak for today's time.
That's it.
Absolutely.
That's it. You're 100%. Absolutely right.
I think that, and actually to piggyback off of what Nicole was saying, I think the Constitution should be rewritten more often than just one time. Because times are ever-changing. Society is ever-changing. That's just like when people go to jail. They go on a 15-year bid. Society is not the same because technology has advanced so much from when they went in 15 years prior. So I agree 100%. The Constitution was not written to be all-inclusive at all.
No.
Why do we
not only that, y'all, hey, man, and matter of fact, we may do something, like I said, next Saturday on, I think I'll take a census here, on the Constitution and the 13th Amendment, you know, its effectiveness, because it wasn't until the 13th Amendment that blacks were even begin to be recognized as a right to be free and not forced upon slave chattel slavery on slave plantations. So that did away with forced slavery on and outlawed it. But at the same time,
but I think
it wasn't until the 14th Amendment we supposed to have what's called
because,
due process.
Yes, sir.
Uh-huh. Go ahead.
I think that leads into the discussion of prisons, though, because when the 13th Amendment went into place, then the prison population boomed all of a sudden.
Oh, right, no question.
And I
think that's...
So did it really... I mean... To me, slavery never left the United States. It just altered
its
form.
Oh, it's not going on today. What do you mean? No, it's never left.
They just altered the form and made it look better.
That's it. Because like you said, Nicole, it was after the Civil War, during what you call Reconstruction period, when slaves were no longer forced on the slave plantations. Well, like you just said, they had to create the slave codes to justify the prison system because they're still going to need people to work in the cotton fields, the sugar fields, the tobacco fields, the rice fields. You have to understand that. So therefore, when all that was away from now, I don't have to force, you can't force me to work anymore. So I need to pass the 13th Amendment after the so-called Reconstruction period to justify now putting you in prison if you can't prove to me where you were, if you don't have a job.
Mm-hmm.
Johnny said you broke in her house. So in other words,
mm-hmm.
that was the justification for the prison booming, the prison system after the Reconstruction period, after the 13th Amendment, because without it, blacks were no longer could be justified to be enslaved and in bondage. So the new Jim Crow was the prison system. And that's what Michelle
mm-hmm.
Alexander quote in her book, The New Jim Crow, being the prison system. So therefore, that what y'all are talking about is very true. So let's understand that.
Oh, and even beyond the prison system, we see the prison system working through our schools and our work environment.
Oh, hell yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Hell yeah. Let's
be real about it, because
right.
the thing is, they were always afraid of the power of the people. This is why
mm-hmm.
they always try to strip the rights of the people. But
mm-hmm.
how can you sign an amendment to pass a constitution granting people the rights, but you have found loopholes to take away people's rights and call it right?
Mm-hmm.
mm-hmm.
Well, there's a,
absolutely
I mean, there's
right.
several
you
groups of people in the United States that still do not have equal rights under the law. They can
oh,
say whatever
no,
they want to, but
be.
We see it time and time again with these laws, especially shooting laws, you know, the stand your ground. I don't know if you guys saw it, but there's another case where a black man just shot somebody who was stealing his car on the 5th here in Oklahoma City.
Yeah, yeah,
and they arrested
car,
that man
down,
and charged him with first-degree murder.
Yeah. Now, how in the hell are they going to? No, we're not letting it go down like that, man. How in the hell are you going to stop me? Because the Constitution even says that you have a right to protect your property, and the only way he kept his car being taken was to shoot this guy. He didn't go out and just find this man and shoot him down. This man invaded
his privacy.
And
how many times have we seen white people kill someone for messing with their damn property and nothing happens to them?
Oh, man. I told you, we're living in two Americas, y'all.
Yep.
We're living in two Americas. That's why they're able to get away with it. Well, let me tell y'all something, man. Just like when y'all talking about the Constitution, the first 12 amendments did not include people of color. Basically, it was targeting blacks for number one because it was due to the caste system, you know, the do's and don'ts, the haves versus the have-nots. Okay, we were actually chattel. We were less considered three-fifths human being in the United States Constitution, which, again, that's why they're not revisiting, because then they would have to take all that crazy madness and conversation out. So the first 12 amendments did not include the African-American people. It wasn't until the 13th Amendment. So what I'm trying to tell y'all, we still have right today two constitutions as well. The first 12 belong to the white supremacist wealthy, and the 13 and 14 on back. Now you're including people of African descent, and now you're saying through the due process of law. Watch this here, though, y'all. They said that the 13th Amendment was supposed to be an outlaw slavery and freeing blacks from slaves. Well, how is it that it wasn't until the 1965 that we got civil rights and 1964 voting rights. See, it's all just a bunch of malarkey, man. It looks good on paper.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, y'all. So they can continually change every 6 to 7 months, six to 7 years. Why can't we, as y'all just stated, go to visit the Constitution? Because legislators have it all wrapped up, and they have it in their own protection. And the people who sit as legislators are put in place and in office by the money who donate to them to get in office. Now, y'all remember that there.
Mm-hmm.
So the legislators are put in place by the power and will.
And also, just to bring some awareness to what's currently going on, in Arizona, there has been a law that makes it illegal to film law enforcement being as close as not eight feet away. How can you take away people's rights to record when it's the only defense that we have to have these officers apprehended and prosecuted?
Mm-hmm.
Here's another loophole that they're currently
creating. I think that that's a violation of your First Amendment.
Exactly. Exactly. And this is something that we should call out and not go for as a people. Listen. If you have seen that it has benefited the people to pull out their phones and record the police, why are you taking our right away? Because if they're wrong, we should be able to say that they're wrong with valid evidence.
Mm-hmm.
Are y'all
mm-hmm.
afraid that y'all have done wrong for so long and is pulling the rug from under y'all feet from what y'all have been doing for years to
exactly.
say justice needs to be served?
Wow.
That's BS.
Hey, you
now
know what,
crazy.
y'all, very it's very explosive conversations, and we got a couple of people on the line here who want to ask y'all questions. Again, we can't put them all on here because we still have a few others that's trying to get with us tonight. Again, Mayotte, your boy, she's out on doing some political work and some social work, as well as some of the members of Bridging the Gap. So we appreciate those brothers and sisters. We'll probably get a little information from them next time we're on the show and tell us a little bit about, because we weren't there, obviously, we're on the show tonight. So we definitely want to get a little bit of more information from them after that. So, again, y'all, we have People Power Radio right here in Oklahoma City, where I'm your host with the most, Baba Wetapa, Father of Many Nations. We're talking, our topic tonight is unarmed police shootings of African-American men and women here in the United States. What is your solution? So we're talking again tonight with esteemed guest. One of the members of Bridging the Gap is Brittany Washington, as well as our frequent visitor, Nicole Zagrati. And again, they're on tonight's show, and as y'all been hearing us, we're talking tonight about what is going on in our society as far as constitution needing to be changed. Our police officers are going through overkill, excessively shooting the bullets at human beings, and how they we need to do revisit, and to undo the current police policies and practices and procedures. So again, thank y'all for joining us tonight. And again, now we have a question for you, Miss Nicole, since you just got on. One guy wants to know, and then Brittany, we'll go to you. They want to know, they remember you by a sheds thing. As y'all know, this, the floor is open for anything we want to discuss tonight now, if we've gone to this point, about 30 minutes left. They want to know, Nicole, how your situation is coming with shed. When is your next movement? What is the current status of that? Which, as y'all know, shed was one of the black men who was murdered this year on April 9th in Norman, Oklahoma. He was simply jogging, and he didn't have any weapons or anything found on him. He wasn't bothering anyone. He was simply doing his thing as he normally do on the weekends when he was shot by a guy driving a red Camaro, I believe it was, with his 10-year-old son in the car. So, again, now that we got that little bit of information, I'll let Nicole talk a little bit more about that. Nicole, tell us how that situation is going and what y'all hoping to come out of that.
Well, we're still fighting. We won't be giving up until justice is served in this case. And
that's right.
Mr. Washington's been by our side this entire time, and we're very thankful
Amen.
For that. We are planning, and I can't remember the date that you gave me, Michael,
second,
we were talking
August
earlier,
second.
But we are planning the August the 2nd. We're going to go back
yeah.
down to the county courthouse.
County jail.
And
courthouse, excuse me, county
jail,
courthouse, yeah.
The courthouse, okay. And,
yeah,
Norman,
courthouse, county
and
courthouse,
we're going to
yeah.
go back up to Greg Mashburn,
Greg Mashburn's
DA's office, and flood his office like we did the
yeah.
last time and push him, you know, same demand, same questions. You know,
yes.
we're just going to keep pushing him until he gives and gives us, you know, some form of acknowledgement. He hasn't even acknowledged us at this time. So,
no.
you know, we just got to keep fighting and pushing for justice. You guys can see updates on that. Just put in hashtag Justice for Shed on Facebook or type in my name, Nicole, N-I-C-O-L-E, last name Zagrati, Z-E-G-R-A-T-I. I do post little random inconsistencies in the case.
Mm-hmm.
So that you guys, if you're not familiar with the
right.
case, I do have a several posts where you can go from the very beginning and read, because we've been, I mean, today marks actually 3 months exactly to the day of Shed's death.
Right, that's absolutely.
So although it might seem like, you know, justice is coming slow, people, please continue to support and get involved. Things like this take time. They take years. They're not, you know, these cases take a long time, especially when you're exposing corruption within the systems and the powers that be. So, like I said, just please continue to support. Please continue to push. Look at my page. Look at the inconsistencies. I made a post this last week about how on the original police report, Mr. Washington and I went to the police department and got on the day of our first rally. It's just
mm-hmm.
the police summary report of that day. Nowhere in that report does it say, one, that Shed aggressively approached the car, tried to
Bam.
Push the driver. That's nowhere in the report. The report just says that he approached a vehicle. And it also doesn't ever mention that he was shot and killed. It doesn't mention anything about
Whoa,
that in the summary. The police summary and what they had the offense listed as was an attended and unattended death. Well, when you look up the legal definition of that, that's like someone that dies in the care of hospice or a hospital room. That's what attended death means, at the with the physician in attendance.
Yeah.
Unattended death means when someone dies inside of their home, like an elderly person or something, and their body isn't found for days, weeks, and sometimes months.
Yeah.
That's what they put on sheds. That original report that they neither one of them fit the situation. That was another blatant attempt at them, because then you know what happens? When their police log gets put on the internet for everyone to see the next day, or gets put in the newspaper for all of the residents in Norman to see, all they saw was the address listed with attended, unattended death next to it, when it should have said homicide. If they would have put homicide, it would have raised more ears and suspicion within the community. But because they were trying to keep this so quiet from the beginning, they intentionally mislabeled what type of case it was.
Wow, ain't that something? So y'all hearing it right here on People Power Radio for the first time, some of you. Again, we want to thank y'all for asking that question of Nicole. And as she stated to y'all, she's giving y'all very accurate information, and we're going back on August the 2nd from 10:30 to about 3 o'clock, and we're going to let these people know we mean business. That's our slogan here at Oklahoma Coalition Against People Abuse, where our motto is change your world, and your world will change around you. We're going to Greg Mashburn. We want to know how you came to the conclusion. We want you to define what attack means. We want you to define to us where you reached your decision. We want to know, are you just blanket jacketly disregarding blacks because we are here in the Western Hemisphere and you think that won't nobody run against you, that you can do what you want? We are asking questions here. We want to see paperwork. We want to see video cameras. We want to see any and everything that deals with your office.
Yes.
What reports you came with. We want to know what notes you made. Why? Because it could be those things could be very revealing to a lot of us, and we don't know how to go and actually get that. So, again, thank you, Nicole, for the very update. And then Brother John, I also said thank you for giving him a better up on it, and several other people as well. They're thanking you as well. I want to ask you a question, if we can, here in Brittany. And they want to know to you, what is your next outlook for your group, and what do you expect to come from that?
Well, the next thing that Bridging the Gap is working on is partnering with Joshua Hill Harris to be able to support him in his campaign for Congress.
Okay.
The thing is, we have to support individuals of color and of diverse that bring a diversity to the table that already exists with the powers that be. Because when we are able to support and push individuals into those chairs, we can fight the right way with the accuracy of securing a voice that will be able to change policies and procedures on the next level. We also have partnered with the Boys and Girls Club to be able to mentor the young people, to show them that they are capable of getting in these chairs to make a change. Because if they don't see it, they won't become it. So we're pushing for them to be able to see it so that because they can become it. And also, like Michael said last week, every 25 years, we will go through the same thing because history repeats itself. So we're hoping here at Bridging the Gap, and we're working viciously to equip the next leaders. We are the leaders right now, but in order for us to be effective leaders, we have to equip the leaders that are to come. Because if we don't equip the leaders that are to come, there will be no hope for tomorrow.
Ooh, y'all, hey. Oh, hey, Brother Vernon said thank you for that. And Leslie from Minnesota, one from Austin, Texas, close to where you're from. Oh, thank y'all so much for giving us that little bit of feedback. Again, y'all, what we're doing on the show tonight is we're talking about sensitive topics that need complete guidance and direction, y'all. We don't need to hold any punches, because on this show, you have a right for your opinion. I don't care if I say that hamburgers are hotter and you said your hot dogs are colder. Hell, I can't. It's not about just... It's about letting each other express what's on their minds, because guess what? Your words are going to affect some people where mine won't. And my words going to affect people for what you want. Look how we're still bridging the gap. Look how everybody's learning together, y'all. That's the whole thing. Everybody's not going to want to be a mechanic. Everybody's not going to want to be a mathematician. Everybody's not going to want to be a teacher in a classroom. Everybody's not going to be an advocate. So why don't we stay in our own lanes and then complement each other when the other needs us to come in that circle? Because guess what? We're going to learn from one another. If I don't know about cooking, like, say, in the kitchen, and I sit down and I get talked and told about it, well, then I'm going to be able to add something to my offer. And in turn, share it with others who need our help, y'all. So the whole point is coming to the aid of those who are otherwise voiceless and who do not have a right way to approach and or make a conclusion to what's best for them, their society, and to their community as a whole. So again, y'all, we're going to take a very, very, very brief break. I usually play a little music at this time, but we're going to hold up. I've already alerted our station that we're going to go ahead and continue talking. So I just want to, again, recognize just a few advertisements we've got going on down here. We're getting ready to do Oklahoma Power and Power People Incorporated on, let me look, I'm looking at, yeah, here it is, July 16th at from 11 to 3 o'clock. We're going to be in Dale City, Oklahoma. And what we're doing, matter of fact, Nicole and Brittany, is that we're going to try to bridge the gap between all these other organizations, everybody thinking that they have to be individualized. We want to collectively come together, and that's what Oklahoma Coalition Against People Abuse is going to do this coming July 16th, Saturday, at the park in Dale City. I'll be giving out the information a little bit further as some of the other people get it back on the show. We got about 20 minutes, y'all, so I want to say this real quickly. We're going to be doing it, and what we're going to do is ask our recognized guests, again, some of the political leaders from various organizations, to come to the park and have a little picnic with us, and we're going to ask them to tell us about the events they got going on, what their next event is going to be, how they want to handle it, and how we can come together and collectively support one another. Because when we support one another's causes, we become larger and more bigger and more force to be recognized with, and the powers that be is going to take a second look at us when they see that we can do things organized without being boisterous or fiery and tearing up buildings and all that other stuff, because that gets you nothing. Then they win because they have a right to protect their buildings and things. But they do not have a right to disregard what we're doing when we do it in a peaceful and a humble manner. So if we get more people doing it and get it done, if we don't fall into their hands, we'll be safe. So again, we want to thank y'all for going to join the show tonight. And now we got Nicole and Brittany. We're going to give you 3 minutes of the closing parting shots, and we'll start with you this time, Brittany. And again, whatever you want to say, it's all yours tonight again, and you got the floor. Thank you for your patience and indulgence tonight. Go ahead on, Brittany. You got it.
I want to say to all of the people listening in, don't be afraid to get with an organization to fight for our rights, because if you don't stand for something, you will fall for anything, and that has been proven throughout history. We cannot afford to be afraid of these people. We cannot afford to take these topics lightly. We cannot afford to lay down our lives for what's right, because if we don't talk about what's right, if we don't advocate for what's right, then they will think that what they're doing is right.
Wow.
And we all know it is not right. We are constantly losing lives. We are constantly losing our rights because of the people and the powers that be are utilizing their power for the wrong reasons. We pay their salaries. We need to start demanding that just like us, regular civilians on our jobs have to sit down before our bosses and before the organization to look at our work ethic over the year in an evaluation stage.
Mm.
We should also hold these people that hold offices that we are paying do their job, that we are voting into these offices. If we are not holding them to the same caliber that we are civilians that have these jobs are held to, then the standard of their practices will not be changed, but they will be endorsed. We cannot afford that as people. We have to take a moment out of our busy lives to show them that we as the people care, that we as the people are affected, that we as the people are suffering on a continuous battle. And losing an endless war to the people that if we have granted the opportunity to govern us. We have to fight for the Constitution to be constantly be real revalued. Like,
mm-hmm.
we have to look at it and say, you know what? We're not standing for this. No justice, no peace.
No peace.
We don't
yeah.
want crooked police. It takes defunding
like
them
that.
For them to get their actions together. Then we have to hold y'all accountable for it. If you say in this practice, the United States uses the Bible for its fullest extent to be
wow.
able to justify its behavior, we have to utilize all of it, not
wow.
just a part of it that is appealing to what we want to change in society. If we say that, just like in the Roe versus Wade, overturning
oh,
the law
man.
Is just that God
oh.
wants all babies born. Also,
wow.
it speaks on an eye for an eye, a tooth for
That's
a
right.
tooth. So that means that we need to do more than prosecute these
wow.
ill-tempered police officers. We have to claim their lives as well. Just like it's people waiting for their death date that's on the death row. We have
right,
to
right.
also get police officers on that death row. How do we make an example out of one or all? We have to make an example out of that first one. Listen, we as the people
mm-hmm.
are not standing for it. Execute
yeah,
them.
No, we ain't going for
if
it.
We have
we ain't
people
going
that are innocent that are looking at the death penalty, we have to also demand that the cops that are essentially murdering people that are sitting in their houses eating ice cream, that are sitting in the houses
yeah.
playing video games with their nieces and nephews, that are
uh-huh.
standing at the corner store selling CDs, that are walking down the street with a
wow,
bag of
man.
Skittles and a tea.
Wow,
if you are murdering these people, we have to hold you to the same charge that you hold
That's
other
right.
murderers to.
You're gonna be.
Just
mm-hmm.
because you have a badge and a uniform on, that does not justify your killing. That means your job is to apprehend these individuals safely so that they can reach a
yeah.
court date so that the judge and the jury can decide. It is not up
That's
to
right.
your discretion whether or not they get to live or they get to die. Do your job
mm-hmm.
or lose your job. Even when you're on suspension, you don't deserve to be paid.
Yeah,
mm-hmm.
that's right. Wow. Hey, Brittany, I had to cut you short because of time constraint, but wow, I mean, that was very brilliant, the way you laid that out and spoke. And it's very truthful, very, I mean, the lines are lit up. I mean, everybody just saying you were right on point. These officers need to be held accountable. The laws were not designed for you to come in and act rambunctiously, disregarding the civil and constitutional rights of people. So everybody understands that. You're given a job simply to feed your families, and y'all need you, we know you need to go home at night. At the same time, at the end of the week and the end of the day, people who are black and then likely to be assaulted trying to go home too. You know, so again, you're definitely, thank you so much for that. Go ahead, Nicole, talk to us a little bit here, and then I got one other call on the line. I see that came on all of a sudden, but he's waving at us, so we'll definitely recognize him. But go ahead on, Nicole.
Hey. I agree with everything that Brittany said. I think that we need to really look at how we fund our police departments. We need to look
oh, yes.
at how they're prosecuted. They're not above the law.
Yes.
Our laws are not written that says law enforcement is above this.
Mm-hmm.
They don't have immunity according to our law.
That's right.
We need to dismantle everything. This blue, I'm sorry, but this Blue Lives Matter, which was just a protest
yes,
to our
right.
protest.
Right. Right.
The Blue Lives Matter, nobody's a blue life. You're not Smurf. You're not Avatar. You're not a blue life. You go home, you take
yeah.
that uniform off at night, you're a regular, whatever skin color you were born in. Don't say there's blue lives against Black
right.
Lives Matter. Don't protest our protest
right.
with something that
right.
doesn't even make sense.
Right.
A black person
right.
is born in that skin. They're born black. They don't get to go home and change that and take that off
right.
or, you know. So don't sit there and say that it's the same thing and it's equatable. And you need to stop telling us that there's no such thing as this blue code of silence because we see it over and over and
over
again. And it's to the point where people want to constantly talk about, you know, officers, well, they're not all bad. We're not saying they're all bad. But
mm-hmm.
are you any better? Are you any better than the guy that's pulling the trigger if you're in his uniform next to him and you're going to keep your mouth shut and you're not going to say anything?
That's right. Yes.
You're no better than that person then.
So
wow.
Everything Brittany said, I agree with, and I think that we really need to revisit the Constitution. The Constitution was not written for us in this day and this time.
Wow.
I
tell you what, brother,
cisgender white men. Sorry.
Oh,
wow. Go ahead, brother. Nicole, that's very beautiful. Oh, man, y'all got me fire on fire tonight. Thank y'all so much. I'm
can you hear me?
Roller
coaster. Can you hear me? Check your one,
go
two
ahead.
The mic.
Hey,
go this ahead. Is way busy. This is way busy. This is a live performance in front of a live audience. You know, if you all want to take responsibility for your actions, you're going to have to do something different than what you were doing before. And the only reason why you could do something that you haven't done before is because God is showing you something that's important to you. And if it's important to you, it's important to him. Otherwise, he wouldn't be showing you what's important.
Mm-hmm.
And taking responsibility for your actions is important.
Okay.
God bless you. A lot of people today are not taking responsibility for what they be doing. Because in the adult world, adults do what they do. It don't matter. And to the children, it matters to the children if adults are paying attention to the children, because the children don't want to be invisible. If you grew up being invisible to your parents, then you know that's detrimental to your future. And nobody taught you the difference between what's right and wrong. I guarantee you it's going to take a little time, but, hey, we got time for people, because people are going to make a difference in the world because they're investing in the future, because the future is so bright. You all got to wear shades at night. You understand what I'm saying? Now, listen, the children are the future, and we're bright children because we're raising children to be adults, and adults are going to take responsibility for their actions. We don't want to teach our children conflicting lessons and say one thing and do another, because God would never teach his children conflicting lessons. God don't say one thing and do another. But somebody is going to be listening, and they're going to be going, holy, holy, holy. And that's right. Holy is the Lord God Almighty inside of you. God made everything holy unto himself, so there's nothing between you and him. But some people put things between them and God, and God's got his finger on it. And guess what? Whatever that is has a built-in judgment all on its own. So we don't have to point at it.
Mm-hmm.
We can point to the truth so people get set free. Indeed.
Mm. Oh, man, look at you. All right. Now, hey, you know what? Boy, y'all jumping in right at the end of the show. But, hey, let me hold on just a minute. I got one other brother. I promise him I ain't going to get on tonight. And don't leave, though, because
no
we definitely have a few minutes after I close out. Go ahead, brother. 314. Come on, number.
No, I heard somebody make mention about the Constitution.
That's right. Come on.
The federal government. The federal government has no say so over local police departments. They get their power through their state constitution and should be controlled by the people that pay for them.
Uh-huh.
That's the people that's going to be subjected to liability. So that's where that's at. And you know, you're talking about this unarmed police shootings and killings of black people. It just so happened that you got a Pacific portion of the population that seemingly that's always in these predicaments where these things happen. I mean, sir, I'm sure that you teach your
children. No, that's not true at all, brother.
Authority.
You see a lot of these mass shooting with these other Caucasians and Hispanics or whatever walking away freely. So, no, I'm sorry, I can't agree with that. Next question.
Well, the thing is this. What is a mass shooting? Hey, From Friday, July the 1st to July the 3rd in Chicago, they had 79 murders. I'm sorry, 79 shootings, of which 71 and 8 was murdered. And then happened in Highland? 30 people shot. And that's something that's practically they see every weekend, during the week in this city. What's up about white police up? If your white police officers are shooting you, then that's up to the community to straighten that stuff out.
All right, we're going to definitely try to. Go ahead on.
But see, here's the thing. Here's the thing about that caller, and thank you for calling in. We have to connect the bridge between the government and the local police department. Yes, what's going on in Chicago is an outrage. but it's going to take the citizens of Chicago to be outraged and to be able to be the voice of their community and to also network and team up with these other organizations. There are organizations in Chicago that are standing up against the gun violence. Let's not be ignorant today. There is help there. However, it's gonna take more people and more time. Be patient with the process. Everything that's within this process is not going to happen overnight.
Mm-hmm.
This has been a long, ongoing fight. When you look at the Malcolm X's and the Martin Luther King's and the Rosa Parks and the Condoleezza Rice that has taken action to even walk across the bridge of Selma, it took them traveling from different places to bring effective change. So my question is to you, caller, what are you actively doing for the city of Chicago to be an advocate to cut down on those murders that are happening over the weekend, you as your individual self? It's
and
easy to call into a radio station and voice
it just ain't Chicago. It's everywhere. I tell you what I'm doing.
It's
I got five guns laying right there behind me, and then either one of them decided to shoot me in the back. Thank you.
You have what now? You said.
But that's your personal weapon. That's not solving the weapons that are being used to murder other people. That's you as a personal protecting your own self and your household. So my.
Yeah.
But you're calling in to say that there's a problem in Chicago. So my standing question is still to you: what are you, as an individual person, doing to bring a solution to the problem?
I'm gonna tell you.
Other
than what I do.
Protecting the arm and
I'm
your
gonna tell
own
you.
Household.
All right.
I'm gonna tell you. I stay
Come
the hell
on,
away.
With us. We wanna hear
and
from
I stay,
you.
I stay the hell away. My kids and siblings away from that area.
You stay away from that area.
Well,
you had three women. You had three black women. You had three black women in the city of Chicago standing on the corner holding hands praying.
But we're talking about
that this stopped. Somebody drove by and shot them.
We're not talking about the three women that's on the corner. We're talking about
the three women that's on the corner.
Can I tell you
something else I do?
As a man of your household, sir.
I raise my children to have respect for authority. And get their education, which they done. That's
my
responsibility.
But all I'm hearing is my. I'm not hearing about the effective change that you're bringing to that community, sir.
Well, I can't love
your
children better than you.
And I'm just being real, and I'm...
Stop it. Let me show y'all.
I'm sorry to say it again, sir.
This Thursday, hold on now. This Thursday, y'all, what we gonna do?
You're talking about your children. What small percentage of that is that is doing to be an effective change within the whole community? You're talking about your children. What percentage of that is that of the city of Chicago? What percentage of that is that?
All right, go ahead, take them out.
Because
a minute of that,
probably
I'm gonna cut
you
off. Go ahead, take them in.
Come on, man.
Go ahead and answer that. Then I have to cut y'all because we got to get ready to close out of y'all. Go ahead. We're still going to be on radio. I just got to close out properly so everybody know we're leaving. Go ahead on.
Literally,
answer the question.
It's literally impossible. Like the one gentleman was talking about the baby. 30 years after Roe, black women had aborted 20 million plus. 20 million plus. Some countries don't have that size population. I catch you next Thursday.
But, sir, you talking about everybody
else.
We talking about you.
Okay, hold on a minute. Next Thursday, y'all, we're going to do a show on, so, brother, you think we should do a show on black gun violence or black violence, black on black crime or what? Is that what you're saying?
No.
Well,
we should do a show on fathers, what the responsibility of a father is.
Okay, father.
Look. A guy I ran into.
But be a father of the community.
But they continuously take fathers out of the black community.
Not a woman.
They take fathers out of the black community on purpose.
A man. I ran into a man, a godly man. His name was Geronimo Pratt. You don't know who Geronimo Pratt is?
Black Panther. I was there with him.
Okay.
I know him.
Me and Geronimo were walking around in prison. I was in prison I ran into the man. Okay? And we were walking around. He was telling me me some stuff. And what he was saying, what was important to that man when Johnny Cochran was getting him out of prison, he was telling me before that interview, because he was walking around that day, he said the most important thing to him was to go back and to be looking up to the father who's responsible for the kid. And if you don't believe it, I don't care what you say. I don't care what you say. I know what homeboy
said. But they're removing
the
fathers
homeboy knows
from
what he's talking
community.
About. Look at
you.
Look
you're right. That's what we're
going to
bring up.
No.
Really, that's what we're
going to
bring
up.
Okay.
Responsibility. And I don't care if you're black, white, yellow. It don't matter. It don't matter.
Okay.
It don't matter.
It does. It does it comes to policing and our government
system.
It absolutely matters.
I got you. So now here what we're going to do, y'all. I got about 5 minutes.
But sir, you're becoming defensive.
Hold on, y'all. Hold on. I got
you're
5 minutes.
You're becoming defensive because you're dancing around.
I ain't
the,
trying to
the question. The standing
question
is, what are you doing as a father of the community? It's easy to
you
be a father
okay.
of your own kids, but I'm talking about
on.
What are you doing to bring mentorship within the community
to
be an effective change to others?
All right, hold on, y'all. Listen, we got about 5 minutes, y'all. I got to take my station break. I got to get ready to close out so everybody know.
All
boy,
right.
These phone lines are lit up. They love where y'all going at it tonight. But listen here. So tonight, the next Thursday, y'all, the topic of the show will be fathers and their roles in their children's life. We'll leave it at that. Then it's wide open for everybody to make their own discussions and okay, look, Nicole, you can make your discussion, and Brittany and the brother on the line. Woo, boy, that's a nice one. Y'all got to lit it up. Let me say, this is People Power Radio right here in Oklahoma City. I'm your host with the most, Baba Weetapa, right here in Oklahoma City. My co-host, Mayette, your boy, is not here. She's on an assignment, and we definitely appreciate her and hope that she's saved in her adventure. We also have on tonight's show, we have Bridging the Gap, Point 34. Again, the main topic, the main person is Brittany Washington. She's one of the co-founders of the organization. And again, we have Nicole DeGrady, who's here with us tonight. Again, we have a topic of unarmed police shootings and killings of black folks. What is your solution? And as y'all know, within 20 to 25 minutes before the show ends, we allow people to come on and say basically what they need to say and what they want to say and how they want to say it in respect to their own personal lives and instances they may know about. Again, if any of y'all have a show tonight, topic for a show, you know to call me at area code 405-246-9089. It's Oklahoma Coalition Against People Abuse. Again, our motto is change your world and your world will change around you. And that's our area code 405-246-9089. If you have a show or topic for a show, please call us there. Again, this is Oklahoma Coalition Against People Abuse. I'm almost out of time, but let me say before I do, this coming July 16th at a park in Dale City, Oklahoma, we will be having a picnic. And we'll be asking all the political community advisors and community leaders to come together. And for those of you who can't be there physically with us, we're going to have a system set up where we can Zoom call with us. So, again, there'll be no excuse no matter where you are. If you want to chime in and see some of the live things that we're going to be doing for the park and the kids, it's a family outing. We want to know about your adventures. We don't want to know about your next meeting. We don't want to know about your next rallies. We want to know about the next court dates, whatever the case is, because we need to bridge the gap, which is I like the title of this group that's on the show tonight, to bridge the gap between the father, the son, the mother, the police, the killings, the shooting, so forth and so on. So, again, this coming Thursday, y'all got 90 seconds. This coming Thursday, we're going to talk about fathers and the roles in their children's lives. So that means the door's open for whether they be in the car or they're wrong. Whether they, Hang on, brother. I got to get ready to close out. Again, it's still going to have something in the back room. You have about 5 minutes in the back room, so let me say this right quick. Okay. Again, we want to thank everybody that's being on the show tonight. So, again, y'all, we're getting ready to close out. As I've always said to everybody that's listening in, please love somebody. Tell somebody you love them tonight because tomorrow may not be promised to you. So let me get ready to say with this, and then we're going to go back to our back room. Everybody stay loved, stay blessed. May God bless and keep you. May he allow his face to shine upon you and give you peace. So those calls are on the line. Do not hang up, but we're definitely getting ready to close on the air. So, again, we'll be in our back room. We can continue this discussion. Everybody be blessed, and may God bless y'all and all your endeavors. Y'all take care. We're off the air now. Thank y'all. Okay, y'all, we're still in the background.
Amen.
Okay, brother, you want to say something? Go ahead on.
Talking to me?
Yeah. Go ahead. I was going to.
Yeah. Hey, I just want
to say
that.
You
want to
say something? Go ahead.
Yeah, you know, I just want to say God is good. You know what I'm saying?
Oh,
God's
yeah.
doing
all
an amazing. Yeah, all the time, brother. You know what I'm saying? Because God's doing an amazing, wonderful work in the new heart that he's given to us. And
mm-hmm.
since that's where Christ sits on the seat of who we are, then he set us free from who we are. And he made us into something different, and it's about him. And if
mm-hmm.
we make it about what we think, then we make mistakes, because God told us it has nothing to do with what you think or what you say or what you do. And God's kind of glory, the fire that he is, when he makes himself real to you, that fire dissolves everything that's not of him so that you can see what God is saying.
Mm.
And if you can see what God is saying, you can see that God never taught you a conflicting lesson. There's no two ways about it. God teaches you who you are in his love, the truth about it. And sometimes folks be listening to what man thinks that God is saying to us. And if we go to Job, the book of Job, I'm sure y'all have been studying Job before. Job, he had a relationship with God, but God had something that he wanted to deal with Job about, because Job had pride about his girl. He had a couple of daughters. He had pride about them. And he would get up and do extra things, you know, extra religious activities. And it was irritating God that he was doing this. So God had to teach him something about the pride that he had about his girl.
Mm-hmm.
And that's why Job had some friends that were talking about God, what they heard about God. But if you look through the story, you see Job was talking to God. And if you like Job talking to God, and you're talking to God about what man thinks, God's going to tell you, listen, you need to listen to me and not what man thinks, because remember what I said in Job chapter 42, verse 7? He says, my wrath was kindled against Eliphaz the Temanite and his two friends, because they didn't speak the thing that was right about God like his servant Job did. And if that's you today, God's going to have you pray for your friends so that God will give you back what you lost before, because God gives you double for your trouble.
Double for your trouble, that's right. All right, brother, we got to get ready. Got about 30 seconds. We're in the back room. But, hey, I got your number, brother, man. So be on the show next Thursday. We're going to talk about fathers and, you know, whether there's a plot, whether just leaving directly, intentionally, whatever the case is. We just want to know the knowledge of anybody that's going to have it. So you be blessed tonight, brother, and everybody else on the show. We thank you all for tuning in. I'm going to have to get ready to get off. They get ready to cut me off in about 10 seconds. Thank you for calling in, brother. And what's your name again,
man? My name's Craig, brother. I love you, man. Thank you for much.
Craig,
you for
I appreciate it, man. We're going to talk some more. Oh, definitely. Okay, now. Have a good night,
man. I'm not going anywhere. I'm right here, man.